Hey everybody, my name is Nick. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
And it's a pleasure to be here. My sobriety date is October 16, 2004. That was when I took my last drink. And tonight, at my home group is Flushing Unity. And it's a pleasure to be asked by Kenny to come and speak tonight. And tonight I'm going to share on steps 1, 2, and 3. And since Kenny asked me to speak at this meeting, it's been rattling through my head. Steps 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. What are you going to talk about? I'm going to talk about my experience with 1, 2, and 3. And my experience with this step, first we'll start with step 1, obviously, was I would love to say I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I got step 1 right away and I started working the 12 steps and my life became fantastic. That wasn't the case. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I came to meetings and I sat in meetings and everybody told me, slow down, take it easy. You know, you'll get this, that stuff will come to you, you know, just keep coming. And I did, and that's what I did. I kept coming. And I made some really cool friends. And I had a really great time. I was having a good time. I was cleaning up. I was a disaster when I got to AA, to be totally honest with you, because I did some other stuff, but alcohol was my main drug of choice, I don't even want to call it. And I was just literally a disaster. I should have been in the hospital. Instead, I'm in an AA room. I'm shaking and baking. I'm totally bugging out. And I met a really bunch of nice people, you know, and got friends. And everything seemed to start working in place. Physically, I started to get better. I started to clean up physically. Mentally, that was still a work in progress. But I wasn't really doing anything about that. I was just coming to meetings and not drinking. That's why I'm here in AA, so I get better. I don't know anything. I see the steps on the shades, and the guys are telling me, you know, take it easy with that stuff. That'll come in time. And probably about 6 months into it, it's getting a little stale, if you guys know what I mean. I'm like, I'm too young to be in this church basement. It stinks down here. These people are annoying. That woman's going to share again. This guy's going to ask me for cash. That one wants a cigarette. You know, I'm like, oh, God, in heaven. You know, I'm still in terrible relations with my family. Work is just a disaster. I'm so tight. And all I keep telling people is I haven't had a drink in a month. I haven't had a drink in 2 months. Just don't leave me alone, you know? And that's how I'm going through this thing. And it's really just not good, you know? Not good. And I remember Friday nights. I belonged to this one group Saturday night. They had like 12 meetings till I got to the candlelight meeting. And I just stayed because I had no place to go on a Saturday night. I was a bar drinker. I'm just like, I'll just stay here and that's what I did, and so it was kind of getting stale. And what happened after that was, I kind of shared that with somebody, and they says, you know, what you're doing wrong, Nick. I'm like, no, I just, you know, I'm just not happy in this whole thing, you know. My best friend was taken away from me, alcohol, and now I'm left with this stuff, you know. The mentalness that goes on, all this crazy behaviors are still there, you know. I'm just not drinking, and I think that's good enough. This is it. This is as best as it's going to get, as good as it's going to get. And what happens is, so the guy tells me, you need to do service in AA. You know, what's that? You know, I don't understand, you know. I like other people setting up coffee and cake and just coming in and sitting down and doing my thing. Because I'm so selfish and self-centered to the core. I don't know it yet, though. You know, I can't see that yet. I can't see any of that stuff yet. So what happens is, I start doing service. So I'm going to my meetings and I'm doing service. And like Kenneth had talked about the triangle, you know. I'm doing those two sides of the triangle. I'm feeling better, like I have a purpose now. You know, I'm doing service, I'm making coffee. And this one particular meeting, that it was crazy. The steps were on these, like they were framed on this piece of plywood. You had to carry it up this flight of steps. And the room was 150 degrees, and I had to serve coffee to these people that I didn't like. And it was like, oh, this is gonna help me, you know? So that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get, this is good for me. My sponsor, I'm not really talking to be honest. They gave me a sponsor, and I wasn't going to call him unless I felt like drinking. You know, if I feel like drinking, I'll call this guy. You know, otherwise than that, then what am I calling him for? I have no purpose. You know, and that's what I'm doing. And that lasted for a little while. I celebrated my 1 year in that group. I was very excited. A little upset at the time. It was almost like this group because I'm looking at the clock. I'm saying, where is everybody? And then all of a sudden, they just start piling in. And I'm like, oh, my God. And my grandmother sat there, and my mother, and the tears came down their eyes, and they were so proud of me. And I just, it was all about me that day, you know. It was no, you know, it's an anniversary show, the newcomer. It was like, no, this is me. This is all me. And I got into a relationship after that. Still don't know anything about these steps and stuff like that. And I had a relationship, and it was a serious relationship. The typical, I joke around, I don't mean it in a bad way, but I say a typical AA relationship where I meet the girl, I get her pregnant, then we think about getting married. And that's basically what I did. So at the time, she was 3 months pregnant, I got a year and a half, and I'm going through a lot of drama in my life with her, and I can't handle it. I'm going through a lot of emotional stuff. Apparently, she had some kind of disorder, mental disorder. Came off the meds because she didn't want to hurt the baby. And because of that, a lot of insanity ensued. She loved me, she hated me, she loved me, she hated me, back and forth. And I didn't know what to think of it or what to do with it, and had no solution in my life and had no way to handle it. I ended up drinking again. That's what happened on October 15th, 2004. I picked up that drink. I had spoken at a meeting before, the Friday night. I think it was a Saturday when I drank. I don't know what I said at that meeting. It must have been great, though. I'm sure I inspired somebody. Just go to meetings, and that's what I do. So I go to this. I drink. I pick up. And I call this guy up. We laugh about it today, because I call this guy up, and Kenny knows the guy I'm talking about, who eventually becomes my sponsor, but I don't know it at the time. I call him up because I was supposed to meet him at the Sherry Day they do in Queens every year. And he says, where were you? Where are you? What are you doing? I said, I'm drinking. He's like, oh my God, okay. So he comes over. He says, you want to get together? I says, yeah, I got to stop. It's insanity. I don't want to go back to that way of life no more. And I says, I don't know what I did wrong. I was doing everything in AA. He said, were you? I didn't know it at the time. He was on fire with the big book. His sponsor just took him through the big book, and he was lit up, looking to sponsor the world. You know how we get when we go through it for the first time, and we're just like that cloud we're on, and we just want to go out and just share this with the world. And so I got him right at that point. So he was fired up. Now, we would get in my truck, and he had no car. His leg, he had a cane. He's walking around, pick me up, I'm going to a meeting. And I pick him up, and we get in my truck, and we start going to a meeting, and he'd break out the pullover. What do you mean pullover? And he'd break out the big book, and we start, look at this, look what it says here. Powerless. You're powerless. So, like, oh, my God. But he asked me this question before we went on this insane journey together through Alcoholics Anonymous. He asked me this question. He says, Nick, he said, are you done? And I says, yeah, I'm done, Jeff. He says, are you willing to go to any lengths? I says, yes, I'll go to any lengths. I got a woman that's pregnant with my child. I don't know if I'll ever see my child. I'm getting insane phone calls that I'll never see my child. And the tears are running down my face. And I think alcohol is going to fix it, but I know it's not. And I'm battling in my head back and forth. Drink, don't drink, drink, don't drink. Listen to this guy. You know, what are you going to do? I knew what the right thing was to do. I heard that voice in my head. Because I got two voices that goes on in my head. I got the God voice and my voice. I decided it'd be better to listen to the God voice. And I started working with this man. And we opened up that big book. And we hit the forwards, you know. And then we got to that doctor's opinion. And my eyes lit up, to be honest with you. I was like, this explains why. This explained why I look back at my drinking. This explained why when I went to the bar and I just wanted to have a couple and watch the game. What's wrong with that? Every guy does that. You know, I had a hard day at work. I closed the bar down, you know, all right, and continue somewhere else. And I learned about this phenomenon of craving. I learned about, you know, what happens when I put a drink in me and what it does to me and why I have this inability to stop when I want to stop and I want to make it stick and I can't. And I find out about the powerless part, you know, and it starts to explain to me what it means to be powerless, what it means to, within my own power, not have the ability to stop, and then the unmanageability, you know. I start to learn about the unmanageability, and he starts taking me through this work, and my eyes really just was like lit up. But the most important thing for me was the fact that, and I share this a lot even when I do big book meetings and stuff, and I try to convey it to the newcomer, is that when I opened this book with this man, I had every ounce of me believed every word that he said to me, everything that he shared with me, everything that book said, I believed wholeheartedly and didn't question. I said I was going to set aside my thoughts. I was going to set aside all my old ideas and open my mind to a set of new ideas and to learn what I'm going to be actually go through. I don't know anything about a spiritual experience at that point. I don't know where this thing is taking me. I didn't even know if I was going to change. But I did know that this journey was going to take me where it took this man. And I liked where this man was. And I said, I'm going to follow it. And that's what I did. And that became my step one experience with him. You know, reading those first 43 pages, going through the big book. It got to a point where, we'll read some more about alcoholism, it talks about we had to concede to our innermost selves. See, all this time in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was raising my hand saying, I'm an alcoholic because you guys did. It seemed the right thing to do. What else was I going to say? You know, hi, I'm Nick. I'm an electrician. I was going to say, Nick, I'm an alcoholic. I followed along. I'm a good follower. I was like that in the bars, too, you know? You know, we're in a biker bar, right? You know, and I have a bandana. You know, we're in a disco, you know, shirt, yep. That's what I would do. I just chameleon fit in. I'd wear masks. I've worn masks all my life. Until I said I was going to set that mask aside and set those feelings aside. So I start doing that. I start going through the work. We get into the chapter, we agnostics, in the step two experience. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I had to figure out what the sanity part was, you know, and I had to learn that, you know, I am an alcoholic. For me to pick up a drink is the most insane thing I could ever do in my life. And it's going to kill me. But the most important thing about we agnostics was when a lot of it talked about setting aside prejudice, things that I think I know about spiritual terms. And to be honest, guys, I was the guy in the bar that when you mentioned religion or you mentioned God in any, you're a freak. That's what you were. You were a freak. You know, you're not me. You're hardcore. This is what we do. You know, don't get that God stuff. Keep it away from you. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's not that I didn't believe, but I fought it. You know, I fought it because I thought I was the yin and the yang. You know, I'm the end all of everything. You know, what I was doing is right. What everybody else was doing is wrong. If you didn't drink, you didn't belong with me. I set that aside. I did what the book says. In fact, I have my sponsor had written a set-aside prayer that came from his sponsor. Well, maybe some of you know this guy, Bart. He's in Arizona. Everybody goes, yeah, Bart. I love him. So I get this good information from my sponsor that comes from him and so on and so forth. But we have the set-aside prayer that we ask God to set aside everything we think we know about the 12 steps. The big book, my disease, and you, God. So I may have an open mind, a new experience with all of these things. Please let me see my truth. And we say that prayer before we work this big book, and things start to change in my life. Even though they're a disaster, even though she's still pregnant with my child, and I don't know when I'm coming or going. You know, I'm going through this work. I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfort and ease. I'm coming to believe that this power greater than myself is actually going to restore me to sanity as it did with my sponsor and as it did with countless others. My eyes started to open up in AA meetings. I started to hear those people that were talking about solution. I started to hear those people talking about God did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. I'm starting to really open up my ears to those things. And I'm still hearing the other people, but I'm listening more intently, you know. And that's what I'm doing. And step two really was that experience where I looked at my sponsor and I says, you know what? I need to believe what you believe. I need to believe that this power can restore me to sanity. Then I get into one of my favorite steps still to this day, the step three. Step three where it tells me I stop running the show. Where it tells me that, you know, where that step three became so important in my life, especially at the time we were going through my sponsor, because God just seems to have a way of putting those right things and working through certain people just at the right times. And he worked through them with this man and with other people around me. And when we started looking at step three, and I just recently, not that long ago, found this out, maybe because I'm a little slow, but in step three it talks about the actor trying to arrange the lights. I'm like, hey, the actor doesn't arrange the lights. Isn't that the, you know, shouldn't the director do that? Yeah. And somebody pointed that out to me, one of these big book things, and I'm like, oh my God. I never saw that. I must have read that page 1,000 times. So I started to look at that, and I started to see areas of my life that I do try to run, and what it meant to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. The third step prayer became one of my favorite prayers. I actually memorized it because my sponsor had it memorized, and I was jealous. So I don't know how to say this. I mean, I was doing, as a lot of people do in AA prior to that, a lot of God-awful things, you know, with my drinking and drugging and everything I did. But I remember being on my knees with this man up at Graymore with another man. I had no relationship with my father like that, you know, any closeness like that. And I'm on my knees with him up at Graymore at this chapel, this little chapel, Franciscan chapel up the top. And we're saying this prayer together. And it really was at that moment where I felt God was actually going to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. All the thoughts that I had of my life and what I was going through at the time, things that I couldn't handle, that I really was suffering from, I felt God is starting to relieve me of these things. I felt a comfort and ease come over me that I never felt before. And it was all through that prayer, you know, asking God to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And miraculous things started to happen in my life. I was starting to able to handle certain situations, like it talks in there that used to baffle me, that I couldn't handle before. You know, my relationship with my family is starting to get a little bit better. I'm starting to see things. I'm letting go of things that I used to, you know, oh, wait, I'll tell you how to do this, you know. I'm starting to be able to be more productive at work. I'm not freaking out anymore. I'm at work asking God to help me through this. Everything. You know, my sponsor said to me, you know, you give God everything. And I'm like, you sure you can handle it? I got a lot of stuff. He started laughing like you guys. He's like, nah, he can handle it. It was better than what I had before. You know, it was better what I had before. Before I had just, what time is the 7 o'clock meeting? But I'm not feeling good, like, it's 2 o'clock. What am I going to do for 5 hours? You know. And what happens is we start this journey together. And we start, like I said, working these first three steps. One thing I do know is, getting back to the first step, I need that 100%. Otherwise, the rest of the steps, I don't know where I'm going with those. Because if I believe I can still run the show and I still have the power, then I'm in trouble. And I realized that through reading, working through the book with my sponsor. And we started this journey together. And it wasn't just in the big book. The big book was a part of it, but there was things that went along with the big book. There was going to these meetings. I would get with him in the car and go into a meeting. Half an hour before the meeting, he's like, come on, let's set up chairs. I'm like, why? This isn't our meeting. I said, I don't get the selfish self-centered part yet. I didn't get this fourth step, so I don't see that yet. But what happens is we start setting up chairs, start making coffee. He's got me talking to newcomers. I'm like, yeah, but I'm a newcomer, you know? Shouldn't, you know, all the tension be on me? We start to go on retreats. We start to do these spiritual retreats. I'm scared to death. You know, I'm looking at these guys. They're like, hi. You know, they're like really spiritual, you know? And I'm like, I'm not there, you know? I'm just trying to get there. And I'm coming away just elated. And still going through the things with my son's mother and just scared to death. I'm asking God to remove my fears. I'm asking God to remove all these things. I'm turning my will and life over to the care of God, as I understand. And I'm trying to live that on a daily basis. I'm getting up in the morning and I'm asking God to direct my day, direct my thinking. I'm starting to do these things that I never did before. And it's starting to affect me. It's starting to change me. And I haven't even touched the fourth step yet. And we're talking about 1, 2, and 3. And I'm starting to get this sense that I'm actually doing something for my alcoholism. You know, it's not just sitting in a meeting anymore. Now I'm actually doing something that's not only giving me the sense that I'm being relieved of this disease or starting to recover from this disease, because I'm seeing the word recover flying all over the pages. I'm seeing promises that are flying all over the pages that I really wanted. Promises that were the opposite of the way I was living. You know, I wasn't having those promises. I was the opposite of those promises, and I wasn't drinking. And that scared the hell out of me, because what are my other options here? And I found him in that book. And we started to do service. He started to take me up to Graymore in front of all these men. He goes, it'll be good for you to speak. I'm like, what? Like, and they're just sitting there looking at me like this. Okay. You know, Nick, now we've had that commitment probably about 6 years now. maybe even longer. And I just went up there last week and speaking to these men and sharing my experience, strength with hope with them, and you know, watching their eyes light up, watching them, you know, come to me and say, Nick, you know, thank you, and exchanging phone numbers and having conversations with them. Now they're showing up at a home group now. There's a whole table of them. You know, those are the joys of what this program has to offer. But I want to keep it back on the steps because we're talking about steps 1, 2, and 3. I don't want to, because I have a tendency I can veer off into something else. But step three prayer. You know, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. You know, relieve me of the bondage of self. I didn't realize it until I read that book with my sponsor, until I actually experienced it. Asking him to relieve me of the bondage of self. Self is what kills me. Self is what tortures me. Self is what makes me not want to be able to sleep at night. My own thinking, basically, is what it's saying. It's to turn it over to the will of God. And like I said, it started to show. It started to show. I've even had people that I didn't see prior to that, and they'd say to me things like, Nick, did you get a haircut? I'm like, I don't have any hair. Did you get a haircut? Did you do this? No, something different about you. And I'll tell you right here, right now, I've seen it firsthand in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in the past 8.5 years. People that are working these steps and going through this process, this you got to admit, there's something about them. There's this glow thing that goes on, and I've seen it. And it's just, it's really a beautiful thing. And that's what started to happen to me. I started to change. And I'm starting to have relations with my parents and my family where I used to fight with them constantly, you know. I'm turning my will and my care over to God. I'm stopped running the show. And it's been an amazing journey. I know for the next few weeks we're going to be talking four, because I can go right into 4, 5, 6. We're going to be talking those in the next few weeks, so I don't want to jump the gun. But especially if anybody's new in here, or you're like me, you know, you came in and you're new and you're saying, what are these guys talking about? You don't have to figure it out. You just have to do it, you know. What was scaring me the most was I had, as I go through the big book with my sponsor and I'm doing all these things, he's taking me on these big book, like, conventions. Like, we did the Fellowship of Spirit, and I was kind of new to the whole thing, and I'm sitting there, and this guy's talking, and I'm going, oh, I did it wrong. Did you ever have that experience? You're sitting there going, I didn't do it that way. And I look at my sponsor, and I'm like, what happened? Why didn't we do it that way? You know. Yeah. And one of the guys grabbed me. I don't know if it was Bart or one of the other guys. Said, did you have a spiritual experience? Did you have a spiritual awakening? Yeah, I did. Yeah, sure, absolutely. And then that's it. You know, you don't need to explain it any further than that. And that was my truth. Whether it was the bond with my sponsor, God was in the room. I remember sitting with him, whether it was up at Graymore or in my truck, just me and him saying to me, like, we're going to invite God in. And all of a sudden, I'd be like, and I would feel it, and it was a beautiful experience. And if you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you knew, you know, Kenny's got big books. get one of these guys. There's a lot of people in this room I know that sponsor people, and start that journey. You know, there's nothing you got to lose. The only thing it's asked is that you be honest, open, and willing. You know, I know the name of the group is Primary Purpose, and that's one thing me and my sponsor and the people in my home group believe in, is that we have but one primary purpose, and that's to help the sick and suffering alcoholic no matter what. And that's what we try to do, you know. All the other stuff, the bells and whistles that follow are nice, but the truth is it's about one alcoholic helping another alcoholic, and that's where my step one experience and the steps to follow really began. And I want to thank you guys for asking me to speak. Thank you.